I'm holding now. See if I was time box. I'm holding by day 21.
Recording.
So tell me about this. He said in this segment, Chavetz Chaim adds another dimension to the issue of Lashon Hara, focusing on one additional sin that can be transgressed when Lashon Hara is focused. If someone were speaking Lashon Hara about an elderly person, would be violating the mitzvah of Yipnei Tzevah Takum Vahadarta. In the presence of the elderly shall rise and shall beautify. The Gemara in Kedushin says, this teaches us to treat our elders and respect them with respect and honor. So if someone says Lashon Hara about a person who is considered an elder, then it's also another Isser Deraisa of Yipnei Tzevah Takum. We have a mitzvah to honor the elder. So by saying Lashon Hara about them, this is another additional, we're transgressing additional positive commandment. Certainly, because Lashon Hara demonstrates a lack of respect. If the subject of Lashon Hara is a Torah scholar, that's even worse. Then one violates the commandment to honor the Talmud Chacham, like it says, "Va'adarta p'nei zaken," and in certain circumstances may even be guilty of actual heresy. As the Gemara says, someone who goes against the Minhag HaChamim, it's considered like they're a kofi. Say, Ma'ahani le'rabbanan, they're a kofi. In certain scenarios, you know, if they're saying we don't need the rabbis, this and that, then the Gemara says it's considered heresy. Also, if it's a kohen, it also makes it worse, because then we're violating the command of the Kiddashta. The Kiddashta is a special positive command which we have to treat kohanim with added respect. Even these days, there's a special mitzvah. You're not allowed to ask a kohen to do something for you. I can't ask Rabbi Aaron to do something for me, unless you forgive. The rules, a kohen who forgives his honor is considered forgiven. But if you don't forgive your honor, I say, can you please go downstairs and bring me a cup of water? I'm not allowed to do that. It could be violating the commandments, unless you agree. So you agree, you're a nice guy, you agree. But if not, then even these days, the mitzvah derives from the kiddush. Let's say we should let him bench first, let him wash his hands first. He's supposed to speak first. So that's the mitzvah of the kiddush. So again, if someone also is speaking Lashon Hara about a kohen, it's definitely not respecting him, definitely not putting him in first place, giving him honor that he deserves. So they say, we know that often people act towards those outside their family circle with more respect than they show towards the members of their own family. However, many Torah sources stress that the true barometer of a person's behavior is not how he treats people when the world is watching, but how he treats people and his family in the privacy of his home. Unfortunately, in some homes, ridicule plays a big part in family interactions. Sometimes, God forbid, a parent is the victim of these barbs, especially when the children are married and their parents are not present to hear their comments. The evil inclination is a very effective method for opening the door to this type of Lashon Hara. He says, maybe you could refrain from speaking Lashon Hara outside the home, but the value of guarding one's speech stop at your front door. Within the family, if people are close and the contact is constant, and Shmiras HaLashon is impossible. Chavetz Chaim teaches that speaking negatively of an older sibling or a step-parent, or even a step-parent, God forbid, is not only Lashon Hara, but it's a violation of Kavet et Avicha et Imecha, honor your father and mother, which even refers to a step-parent. Right, it's also to a step-parent, because either a person's father's wife or mother's husband, also a step-parent, also older brother, older sibling, also the word Torah says, Kavet et Avicha ve'et Imecha, and the extra word we learn, also the mitzvah derives to honor your older brother. There are also here, not only is there a violation, also a curse applies. A curse applies to one who shows parents disrespect. Like it says, Aru makta aviv imo, cursed is he who degrades his father or mother. One of the primary reasons Hashem created the family unity was that it could be a workshop and a place for the neshama to develop. The home is where we learn to be less self-centered, where we develop a love for kindness towards others. When the laws of Shmiras HaLashon guide the family interaction, each neshama, which this workshop produces, can develop to its full, rich potential. It's sometimes hard not to speak to Shmiras HaLashon inside the family, but really, if we're careful with these laws, then everyone can grow properly. Baruch Hashem, that's clear. Baruch Hashem. Fine. Now, we're going to go back to the Gemara, and we're holding a Daf Chesam and Aleph. So anyway, we're sure going to start with the Gemara we started on Thursday. What do you say, Rabbi Akiva? You ready? If we say something wrong, you'll tell us. Oh. Ready? We're holding now on that Ches Amud Aleph in Maseches Makos. We're holding now about 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, 13 lines from the bottom. Oh. We said, Hazori Kasev, what do we say in the Mishnah? We said in the Mishnah, what was the last halacha of the Mishnah? If we go back to the Mishnah for a minute, the end of the Mishnah, we'll see what it said. Abishol, when Abishol says, Ma chatavis eitzit. It shows, just like the Torah scenario, when someone killed another person mistakenly, what was the example? The Torah gave. The Torah specifically gave an example of someone chopping wood. Right? Now, it doesn't necessarily seem to me, say he was doing a certain mitzvah. The Torah doesn't give a scenario a guy was doing a mitzvah and he killed someone by mistake. It specifically gave us a case of chopping wood, which is always, Abishalar, a scenario where it's not obligatory to chop wood. If you want, you chop wood. If you don't want, don't chop. It says, just like the Torah scenario of killing someone but mistakenly and you went to Galus, was in a scenario of Rishus, you were doing a personal thing, it was an obligation. It was voluntary. Av kol so to every scenario when you kill someone mishagig rishus, in order for us to send you to galus for killing someone mistakenly, has to be when you're doing a voluntary act, not when you're doing a mitzvah. Yeah. So what do we say? It's kind of exclude. Ha'av, a father, hamakas for a father who's hitting a child, a son, or a rabbi haruda es talmidu who's like straightening out his talmud. Ushliach Besen, we said, or a messenger from Besen who's giving Malkus. All those scenarios, if the person dies, then the one who carried out the act is off the hook. He does not have to go to Galus. Why? See, like Abishol, he's just understanding. Since the Torah's example of killing someone by mistake, and you went to Galus was a case where you were doing a voluntary act, so to every voluntary act, when you kill someone by mistake, you go to Galus. To the exclusion of a scenario where you're in the middle of the act of a mitzvah, then you don't go to God. That was Abishal's halach. Kabbalah Gemara, we want to talk about this. We want to try to understand his source. Let's see the Gemara now. Amr le, hahu me Rabbanan l'Rava. One of the Rabbanan, this Rabbanan said to Rava, they said, I don't understand Abishal. Mimai, why are you saying, Dimichatavis Eitzim, or the Rishos, because the Torah's source, that you're learning that you go to Galus in a scenario of chopping wood, which is voluntary, Dilma maybe, Mechataves Eitzin, the Sukkah, maybe the Torah scenario is a case of chopping wood for a Sukkah, Umechataves Eitzin, or chopping wood, the Ma'aracha for the pile of wood in the Beis HaMikdash. So why are you deciding the Torah's example, this Torah gives an example of a voluntary act, to teach me you only go to Galus when killing someone from a voluntary act? Maybe the Torah scenario is really a scenario of a mitzvah. For example, you're chopping wood for a sukkah or for the wood in the mizbeach, and still you go to Galus. So where did Abishol understand this from? So what do we say? And so again, where it said, we might HM Dura shows, how do you know the scenario of the Torah of chopping wood is voluntary? Dilma maybe. We're learning that you go to Galus. Mechatavis Eitzim. The scenario where you're chopping with the sukkah. Of a sukkah. Mechatavis Eitzim. The Ma'aracha. Va'afilu hachi. That sentence. And still in all. Amar Rachman. The Torah tells me, likely you still go to Galus. So why is Abishol understanding the Torah scenario? The scenario you were doing a voluntary act. And he said to the exclusion of a case where you're doing a mitzvah. Maybe no. Maybe the Torah scenario was also speaking about a mitzvah. Or speaking what you were chopping with for a sukkah. So Amar Lei, so Rava answered back to, he said back to this rabbi, this Rabbana, I'll prove to you that there's no such case of chopping wood that's a mitzvah. There's no such case of chopping wood that's a mitzvah. The Torah specifically told us a case of chopping wood. So there's no such case of chopping wood is a mitzvah.
Okay.
You just asked me a question that by building a sukkah, chopping wood for a sukkah, or chopping wood for the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah. He said, I'll prove to you, it's not a mitzvah. It could be preparing for a mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah. What's my proof, Rebbe says? I'll prove to you that is not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of chopping wood. So what's my proof it's not a mitzvah? Kivan, since the imam matzah chatam, if you found wood that was already chopped, lav mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to chop wood now. Hashtanami, now also lav mitzvah. What's this proof? You say like this. Let's say every person has, most people, you built a sukkah last year. You have a sukkah from last year, right? Is there a mitzvah every single year to chop wood for your sukkah? Are you obligated to chop wood? What do you think? Do you have to chop new wood? No, no such halacha.
But the wood has to be, like the word, kosher, because there can't be infestations in it. It has to be fresh.
It has to be fresh. There's no bugs in it. But if you sprayed it and everything's fine, I have wood from last year. You can use wood from last year. Say you want to stay chopping
wood.
Young
guy just got married. Yeah.
Oh, I'm proving to you, since in every scenario you don't need to buy new wood, even if today you do need to chop wood this year, because it's your first time making sukkah, but it's not part of the mitzvah. It's for
free. The argument doesn't stand.
Of course it does. He just explained it to you. He's saying that chopping the wood for the sukkah is not the mitzvah. What's my proof it's not the mitzvah? Let's say you already have wood. Do you have to go to chop new wood every year? If chopping the wood was part of the mitzvah every single year, you'd have to chop wood. It's like if chopping the wood is a chelik, a part of it, that's what he says. Read it again. He says, Kiban, he says.
Matki was it.
Why? What's your question?
Matki, not a matki.
Yeah, Father, what's your
question? You don't tie them every day.
Uh-huh.
But when you tie the first time, it's a mitzvah. It's shame to a mitzvah to tzitzit. Tefillin, when you make the tefillin.
No, let me see what you stop it.
Saying.
It's a L'shem mitzvah, the first time.
You're saying it's the hachana. By saying L'shem mitzvah, you're saying
no, it is part of the
tefillin.
Let's stop, but let me ask you a question. Let's say you came and it was already tied. You always knew it's already tied, some Chinese guy tied it. Is that good enough for you?
See, that's slower so you can understand your question.
If some Chinese guy tied your tissus for you, he's sitting there, he's tying your tissus, because you sent it to the washing machine, and it came out, so you decided he feels bad, you're going to tie it again.
They may not be kosher.
Not kosher.
They're not made out. They are.
They're not kosher. Right? They're not kosher. Why? Because so that means I needed. You needed to tie it one time at one point in history. You needed to tie it. Nahon, you needed to tie a Jew. Let's say I found wood. Some guy is knocking down his house. Some Chinese guy. Some builder. He has leftover wood. Mm-hmm. Could I use his wood?
For what?
I can use the wood. Yeah. So you proved to me the chopping of the wood is not part of the mitzvah. The chopping of the wood. I say at that step, you're right. Your tzitzis, if they're ready. I'm just saying, the point that you, if you wouldn't have, the proof is, if a Jew wouldn't have done it, that I would have not chopped the wood. I don't have to chop the wood. It could be from last year, it could be some guy chopped the wood, it could be from anywhere, it could be from wherever I have wood from. So that proves to me that it's not part of the mitzvah. Like tzitzis is a good example. If a Chinese guy ties my tzitzis, is it kosher? No. What? Because that's part of the mitzvah.
Or Jewish Chinese.
Let's say not.
Okay, gotcha. But getting back to chopping wood, aren't there specific requirements for what skak is?
Fine, but if it was already chopped, I have all the requirements, everything agrees with homosexual sukkah, every halacha is good. But it's already chopped. I don't have to chop wood. If some guy did all the work for me, he did me a favor, I have a partner who's a guyish partner, and a business partner, he decided to buy me a present, then he chopped all the bamboo, he went to China, chopped the bamboo for me, brought it for me. Is there any, there's no problem, because the chopping is not part of a mitzvah. Unlike the building of the sukkah or the sitting of the sukkah, that is a mitzvah. Gemara is proving, you're telling me that chopping the wood for a sukkah is a mitzvah. The Rabbi said, I'll prove to you that act is not part of it. What's my proof? Because let's say it was already done for me. If I said it wasn't Jewish, it's not, or I have it from last year. There's no special mitzvah every single year. If I find wood somewhere, it's good.
It's the same thing with building a sukkah.
No, building a sukkah is different. Building a sukkah has to be built l'shem sukkah. It has to be built for the sake of sukkah. I found the hut somewhere, and I said, oh, let me use it for my sukkah. And I didn't put it, I find a Chinese guy who sits in somebody who looks like a sukkah. It's a Chinese guy, they're popular today. He sits in somebody who looks like a sukkah. It looks round, and he has a bamboo on top. If I sit in it, it's not kosher. Because it wasn't made l'shem for the sake of a mitzvah sukkah. So
and
that's the difference.
Cutting
is fine.
Preparing, isn't cutting the same thing as preparing?
No. So it's a step before the actual mitzvah. We of course, everybody, you might get rewarded shemayim, or it will lead
like,
up
do you
to
get, it. Is it a mitzvah to check the lettuce for mar before the seder?
So if it's not to eat bugs, that's a mitzvah. You're saving yourself.
Right, but is it a mitzvah mar?
No, right, not. Yeah, it's getting ready. Right, if I walk to shul.
Huh?
So that's his proof. He's
No, but the question that's...
It's different. I'm just giving an example based off of something that you might think is part of the mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah.
No, it's not part of the
mitzvah. It's a different mitzvah. You can also say that cutting the wood for whatever is the fumzara of your grave.
Of course it's part of it.
It's not part of mitzvah sukkah.
Nachon, a lot of them say if you daven also, how many of you fulfill mitzvah sukkah? Also, it's very nice.
All the time you're doing a mitzvah. It's not one of the six.
Right.
No, but this preparing the skok is preparing the mitzvah. Is
Nachon, but it's preparing. It's not the mitzvah.
Keyword preparation, but not the mitzvah.
No, I'm saying.
That's the difference.
Putting good.
And what if you do it? This is a little old couple. The husband is 94. The wife is 92. And they take turns with the wheelchair.
Yeah.
They can't do it.
Fine, you do it for L'shem mitzvah sukkah, but if it's L'shem mitzvah sukkah, it's good. It had to be for the mitzvah. It couldn't have the guy doing it. It has to be a Jew doing it. For the sake of the mitzvah sukkah.
Jew or Jew come and cut the wood to for that's then you have the mitzvah of
sukkah. It's fine.
Then cutting that wood is the mitzvah.
Fine, and that's the near. But fine, again, but the this is what everyone asked us the last time that. We're saying there's no such scenario. When I say there's no such scenario possible, my father also told me to cut the wood. I'm cutting the wood. I'm doing mitzvah kibbut av. So normally, when you cut wood, it's not a case of it. So generally speaking,
we meaning, have to be normal.
No, I'm saying just Abishal was understanding the Torah. You don't have to be normal.
Me, Abba.
Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul in the Mishnah. Who said in the Mishnah, he told us that. That the Torah scenario is specifically talking about a case which has a reshut, which is voluntary. You know, the Torah is giving you an example which usually is going to be a reshut. Now, every single scenario in the world can be a mitzvah, because if your father tells you to do anything, it becomes a mitzvah deraisa. He's saying, generally speaking, the Torah is trying to give you a scenario that usually is not a mitzvah. In most normal scenarios, when you say, yeah, but I could have a very normal case of sukkah, it's not true, sukkah. So the Torah specifically gave you a scenario. Usually it's a mundane act. Usually it's out of my own pleasure. It's voluntary to chop wood because I want to be warm in the wintertime. I want to make a barbecue. Whatever it is, I want to build a house. Usually it's not for a mitzvah. To teach you that this whole halacha, that when you're doing an act that killed someone by mistake, you go to galus, is only when it came through a voluntary act and not through a mitzvah. That's what the Torah gave you. A very case that's generally speaking not a mitzvah. That's the thing. Every single case in the world, you can always figure out where somehow it's a mitzvah. Your father told you to do it. Every father, it's always keep it up. So everything's generally speaking, it's not a mitzvah. That's Rav's original understanding. Right, Rav's going to come back and say I have a better pshat, but as of now he says that's his pshat. Fine. So we're saying if you're preparing for a mitzvah, you don't go to God. So we're saying now according to this, even if you were preparing for a mitzvah, because let's say I was chopping wood for a sukkah and you killed somebody, then you would go to God. The only time you're off the hook is you're doing the mitzvah itself. According to this, right? It says even if a guy was chopping wood for a sukkah, he's working for it, and he kills somebody, he would still go to galus. Because the only time we say you're off the hook, because it's still rishus, it's part of it, it's still not the mitzvah itself. The only time you don't go to galus is the mitzvah. If so, the Gemara asks, according to Rav, Gemara says, we have a big question on you from our Mishnah. Because what were some of the examples Abba Shaul was giving? What were one of the examples? He said, if a father hits his son and he kills him, chas v'shalom, he says, then the father doesn't go to galus. That was Avishal. He said, according to your logic, is hitting the kid a mitzvah? And the Gemara's questioning, we say, it's not a mitzvah. Why are you hitting the child? In order to get him to learn Torah. So the hitting isn't the mitzvah, according to the Gemara's question. So, if so, why does Avishal say, if you hit the child, you don't go to galus? It's not the mitzvah. It's a preparation to get him to do the mitzvah, get him to learn Torah, preparing him, it's guiding him. That's the worst way. According to Rav's answer just now, that you're only off the hook when you're doing the mitzvah itself. If you're doing preparation for the mitzvah, you still go to galus. So in the case where a father hit his child, they killed a past child, that was just all a preparation to get him to learn Torah. Over there, also you should go to galus. You're just preparing him to learn more Torah. That's what do you say, Rabbi Aaron? It's a good question. So that's the most. The Gemara is going to answer it's not true. Because hitting the child itself is the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. It's not just, we're going to bring a pasuk, the hitting itself to guide him in the right way, that already is the mitzvah. It's not just that you're hitting him in order that he should start learning Torah. That hitting, that guiding itself, that's the mitzvah the pasuk gives us. The hitting itself, that's giving him the guidance, that itself is the mitzvah. It's not only because he's going
to
do this straightening out itself. Why? Because then we know that everybody will give you a go.
The mother's going to make that father miserable for the rest of his life.
The mother.
And any brothers or sisters, he's going to wish you went to government.
He'll run away himself. Maybe. But, so that's it. So let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara's going to ask a question. Ace, the question of what you just said. Ace, Ravina, the Rav Ravina asked a question from Rav. He says, you told me preparing for the preparation for a mitzvah, you still go to Galus. We said in our Mishnah, Yatzah, that we exclude a father, Ava Makeh et Beno, who hits his child. And a Rebbe who hits his town, you told me we excluded them from going to Galus. But Leiba, let us say, Kivan, since the Ilu Gamer, if the child was learning, and he's sitting and learning, and Shtayi is doing what he's supposed to, Lav Mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to hit him. The mitzvah is the learning Torah. So if he's learning, it's not a mitzvah to hit him. Just like you told me before, if you have chopped wood, it's not a mitzvah to chop wood. So it's just a preparation for a mitzvah, you tell me. So hashtanai, now also, la mitzvah. I mean, what do you tell me about the wood? He's saying, you tell me about the wood of the sukkah. If you already have wood for the sukkah, you don't need to chop wood. So that means, in a day when you're chopping wood, it's just a preparation, it's not the mitzvah. If so, the child learning Torah is the mitzvah, right? The hitting him is not the mitzvah. What's my proof? Because if he's sitting and learning Torah shtaging, you don't have to hit him. So your whole hitting is just a preparation for the mitzvah. So we said before, if you're just preparing for the mitzvah, there is galus. So why did David Shalom say in the Mishnah there's no galus? In a case where you hit yourself, what do you mean? It's only preparing for a mitzvah. You're preparing him to learn Torah, so there should be galus. That's the question. You told me that when you prepare for a mitzvah, you still go to galus, so you could cut them for the sukkah. So here also, when you're preparing the child to learn Torah, so you're hitting him, the preparation to lead him to learn Torah. So here also you should go to Galus. It's not the mitzvah itself. So my answer is no. Hasam over there, af al gav de gami. Even if the child is sitting and learning, he's doing the mitzvah, still mitzvah, it's still a mitzvah to keep whacking off the straight in him out. At least in whichever way it works. Sometimes the hand, sometimes in the... Do more gentle guidance. It's always a mitzvah to guide the child. No matter what. Even if they're doing what they're supposed to, keep guiding them exactly on the right track. You know, like, even if they're not going off all the way, they're still learning, guide them, give them, you know, it's always a mitzvah to guide them. Like it says, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Yaser bincha, like chastise your son, v'yanichecha, v'yiten ma'adanim v'nafshecha. What does the Pasuk mean? What does that mean? It means, if you chastise, like you give your son like mussar when he's younger, then he'll give you rest and you don't have to get upset at him, first of all. Also, he'll give you like ma'adanim, you get like a ma'adanim, you get like pleasure from his soul, which means you'll be happy. When you get older, if you kept helping him guide him when he was younger, when you get older, you'll enjoy him much more. That's it. So we thought, only if a child's not learning Torah, he's not doing what he's supposed to, then you have to hit him. So the hitting is just a preparation for him staying straight and saying no. Even the guy's on the path, he's doing good. Keep straightening him out a little bit when he needs here and there. That's also a mitzvah. So it means the hitting itself is a mitzvah. It's not just an order that he should do good. Even if he's doing good, just keeping him on track is also a mitzvah. So that's why the father was, even though the father was hitting the son, he's trying to just keep him on track, which is a mitzvah. If he does that and he killed the son, chas v'shalom, then you don't go to galus. Why? Because that itself, the straightening out the child, is the mitzvah. That's the Gemara's answer. Now these days you know how to do it in a gentle way. Doesn't mean it says he has to say, should I give him, you know, be more done more gently, but at least in the Gemara's time, he used to be hidden. What?
Shoelace.
Yeah, for sure, that's also, even these days, even that, say, your virus shouldn't hit so much. I mean, you just know when it's coming out of the right way, when a child won't hit back, halachas, when you hit a child, he won't hit back, and won't say anything back to you. And it will help him, then it's worth it to him. That's how often he's supposed to hit the child, but it's not going to help anyway.
These days, it puts him off the path. That's what the world's about to get the hell out of my life.
It's hard. It's very hard. These days, you know exactly how to do it. Because the point is, it's going to make them worse. And the Pasuk is not telling him to hit them. It's going to make them worse.
How many boys are out on the street today because of things like that?
Again, it has to be done the right way. For more information, you can read the Gan HaChinuch. Right? Over there, it has all the guidelines. Fine. Fine, very good. Fine, that's the Gemara's answer. So Ezer now comes out. That's Rava's first shot. So again, how does Rava understand Abashal? Abashal says in the Mishnah that you only go to Golis if you're doing something voluntary. If you're doing an act of a mitzvah, there's no Golis. So until now, what was his makar? Why? He said, because that's the case the Torah gives us. The Torah specifically focuses on giving us a case where it's usually a voluntary case, a case of chopping wood. Right? So we understand from there that the Torah is coming to exclude a case of a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah, you don't go to Golis. Rabbi said, you know what? I have a better pshat. Hadar, my Rabbi went back. Hadar means he was like Chazer, he retracted. Rashi, it doesn't really mean to retract from what he said it's on it. He says, I have a better proof to say what I'm saying. I have a better explanation for Abishal where he saw it in the Pasuk itself, in the words of the Pasuk. Until now, he's understanding that Abishal understood it from the scenario of the Torah. Since the Torah scenario was chopping wood, which is voluntary, you only go to Golis if you're killing in the middle of a voluntary act. Now he's saying, no, I'll find it for you in the words of the Pasuk. Saying, I can find Abishal's halacha in the words, which is even a better pshat. I'll find it in the words that would show me that you only go to Golis in a case where you're in the middle of a voluntary act. That's what Hadar Amar Rashi says. He's saying, I have a better pshat for you. Until now, he's just saying, the Torah scenario was a case that's usually voluntary. Now he's saying, no, I'll tell you better. I'll find this halacha for you in the words of the Pasuk. I'll show you in the words of the Pasuk that we're specifically talking about a scenario that was voluntary. That's it. So Hadar Amar Rabbi went back and he said, I have a better shalom, I'll see the army. It's not something that I'm saying. Rashi that says it doesn't mean that he's saying he's scratching his first pshat. See, it's not really a good pshat. I have a better pshat. Because he said, look at the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? He said, let's go back to basics. Let's read the pasuk again. What does it say? Va'asher yavo et re'ehu bayar. And when your friend comes into the forest. What does the pasuk say? When your friend comes into the forest to chop wood and something slips and it kills you, then he goes to Golis. But what does the pasuk say? It says when he happened to be walking. What does the word "when" mean? It doesn't say he was doing a mitzvah. He had to come into the thing to do a mitzvah of chopping wood because he was doing a mitzvah. The right says father said, or he's a mitzvah. So it doesn't say that. It says when he happened to be walking in the forest chopping wood, he kills somebody. So for the word that says "Asher," when it happened, then this is a strong lashon terminology that he has to be there. So it seems from there, it's specifically talking about a case that was voluntary. You hear about him? The terminology of the pasuk when it said "when," it seems like stop. When it happened to him? Like let's see inside. It says "Asher yavo et yabaya." When your friend came to the forest. So what is it we understand from there? The ibai, if he wants, ayel, he could go up. He could go into the forest. Ibai, if he wants, no, he doesn't have to enter the forest. There's no allegation, nothing obligating this guy to go into the forest to chop wood now. He's doing it on his own accord. So if you think mitzvah, that the pasuk is referring to a scenario where it's a mitzvah, misagi, would it be enough to lo'ayel that he didn't go into the forest? If we're talking about a mitzvah, then the pasuk should say he has to go in the forest. He had to go into the forest, and by mistake he killed somebody. He didn't say that. He said when he happened to be going in. That doesn't sound like a mitzvah to me, the Gemara said. When you have to be strong. So that's what we see. From there, we understand the Torah scenario specifically when it was voluntary. And the terminology of Asher. It said when he happened to be going in. Good? So that's where I was finding. So what's the source for Abishal that the Torah's case, it was specifically talking about a scenario that was voluntary, that this person was cutting the chop wood voluntary, and he killed somebody, he goes to Golis. Because the puzzle says, Asher, when he happened to be going into the forest, that's where Abishal got his halacha from. That was his source. That's where he saw it in the puzzle. So originally Rav was saying the pshat is no, that's the scenario is usually in the forest you do things which are voluntary. They say much better. No, the pasuk reads that it was a case that was voluntary. Well, let's see Rashi here. What is Rashi? The Rashi says hashtanami ki lo matzah chatuva. Right, we said earlier in the Gemara, when you don't find chopped wood in hachatava mitzvah, the chopping of the wood is not a mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Asiyat ha-sukkah, the making of the sukkah is a mitzvah, not the chopping of the wood. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? So hitting the child also, la mitzvah al-hakoto is not the mitzvah to hit him, because you just wanted to learn Torah, the hitting is just a preparation for him to learn Torah. Fine. Then what do Rabbi say? La melti da amri. I'm not saying this. What did Rashi say? Raya tova mizu hayav. I have a better proof, La Shiva, to answer you. Minam mikra atzma for the pasuk itself. The lav bechatava the mitzvah kamar. We're not referring to chopping wood of a mitzvah, because it says a word about asher, which seems to mean he wants. So again, Abishal says in our Mishnah halacha that when you go to galus, only if you kill someone mistakenly while doing a voluntary act. He knows that from the word ba'asher. The Torah says when he, if he wanted, he was walking in the forest. Oh, let's see more further. Amar le Rav Adar Bar Ahava the Rav. Rav Adar Bar Ahava asked Rav a question. Told him, "Kol hecha, wherever." The chiv that it says asher, the word asher means that he wanted to, like when he happened to be doing it. The e ba'yu, this means if he wants. We said the word when it says the pasuk says when he was going in the forest. What the word mean when he's going in the forest? We said that means when he was going in the forest means if he wanted to he goes in the forest. So I have a question for you, Elayata, but now I have a question for you for the following pasuk. What does it say? The ish asher yitma, and the man who becomes tummy, the lo yitchata, and doesn't get sprinkled. What does the pasuk say? Let's read out the whole pasuk. The fancy gemaras you have on the side, pasuk dalad. What does it say? The ish asher yitma, a man who is tummy, a person became tummy. Let's say kind of tummy mace. A guy became impure. The lo yitchata, and he did not sprinkle himself. Right, in order for a person to walk in the base hamikdash, he has to get sprinkled to go through the purification process. So let's say the pasuk says the person is tummy. And he did not get sprinkled. He did not go through the purification process. What's the halacha? Like someone who goes into the real place of Harbayis today, v'nechradai, he gets cursed. So, right, a person who goes to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're all impure today, right, and he didn't get sprinkled, then it's chayav kares. So instead of v'nechradai, nevesh ahim, v'noch kahal, kiputash, shem t'imeh, he's sanctified because he's making tummy the sanctity of Hashem. Kimeni nidalo zrak alas him. Since he didn't get the water sprinkled on him, he is tummy. So the Kabbalah pasuk saying, a person when he was tummy and he went into the Beis HaMikdash, then he gets karis. Right? It's pretty strict. That's it. You're tummifying Hashem's kedusha. Tummifying. So what does it mean? So now, but what is the pasuk? The pasuk says ba'asher. What it means is when the person became tameh, which we said was the word when mean. We said when you say the word when, it means you had a choice. We said when you're going to a forest means if you want you go in, if you don't want you don't go in. So if so, when it says that ish asher yitma v'lo yitchata, what does it sound like? It says a man when he became tameh, and he went to the Beis HaMikdash, he gets cursed. What does the word when mean? We said when it says asher, it means if you want you do. We don't want you to. So what does the pasuk mean? Ibai mitama. Which means, it sounds like the pasuk means like this. If you have a scenario that a person voluntarily became tameh, if he wanted to become tameh, if he wanted to, he could become tameh. Ibai lo mitama. If he wants, he did not have to become tameh. However, it makes mitzvah, the loisagit, lo mitameh. How can I be the pasuk? So if you have a makes mitzvah, then you had no choice. You should become tameh. Because if you're reading the puzzle when it says share, it means something voluntary. It means when you became tummy, it means you had a choice to go to this funeral or not. And you went anyways. Right? Fine. So it's a when you had a choice to become tummy, and you became tummy, and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you get cursed. What does that connote? But let's say it was a mitzvah for you to become tummy. Then it's not a problem to go into the Beis HaMikdash. What do we say in our Gemara? What do we say by us? It says, share when you're going in the forest. And you kill someone, you go to college. What do you say that means for Bar? Only in the case when you decided to go on your own accord voluntary. But if it's a case scenario of a mitzvah, you don't go to college, we said. Nachon? So if so, you should learn the same thing in this command. When a person becomes tamei, which means when he voluntarily became impure, and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, then he becomes, then he's chai, he gets cursed. He's liable to curse. But if it was a mitzvah, and he had to become, let's say, the case of a mace mitzvah, which means there was no one to bury this guy, he found a dead man, there's no one else to bury him, this guy has no relative, nothing, and he had to become impure, it sounds like. You don't get cursed. Because the Bible says when. It says when you became tameh, which means when you had a choice to become tameh, and you chose to become impure, and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, then you get cursed. What does that connote? if you had no choice to become tam, let's say it was a mitzvah, you could go to the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, with the same exact thing we said before, the Torah sounds like the Torah scenario when it says when means voluntarily, right?
Yeah.
When it says the word when is voluntarily, right? It says when you did this and this, that means when you did it voluntarily, right? We say when you went into the forest voluntarily, you killed somebody, then you have to, then you go to God, right? We say, but if it's a case of a mitzvah, then what's the way you say? You don't go to God. So, if the way I say it should be the same exact thing we hear. When a person has a choice to become impure or not, that's when he goes to Golos. That's how, when a person has a choice to become impure, then if he goes to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, he should become tummy. But if he had no choice because of the mitzvah, you don't get cars. We said the Torah scenario is specifically in a case where it's voluntary. Where it's voluntary.
You had a choice whether to go to the Beit HaMikdash or not. You didn't have to go right then. You're right, but
it said the word Asher, it said when in the beginning of the pasuk. It said when you became Tameh, you're right. But really it says when you became Tameh.
Well, it's why also you got karmas. If you don't have one, you're going to go to the...
I think why is that? You shouldn't. I know, but the why is that? According to our logic, according to our... It's true, Nachon, might say halacha is wrong. Even a person who becomes Tameh for a mitzvah, you still can't go. According to our logic, the Agmara says, it should come out that a person who was had to become impure should be allowed. Why? So, Rebbe, that's the Lord of the Gemara. What's the guy? He's saying, if the guy had a choice to become impure to a mace or not, the Asher, when he became tummy, if he had a choice to become tummy, it was voluntary, then if you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you become, and you get cursed. But if you had no choice, because it was a mitzvah, you had no choice, it was a mace mitzvah, and then if you go into the Beis HaMikdash, there's no cursed for you. It's saying Vasher when you, because that's our deek for the pasuk. Just like by our case before, it says Vasher when the guy was chopping wood, when it was voluntary, that's when you go to galus. If it's a mitzvah, there's no galus. So it should be the same thing. When it's voluntary to become impure, and then you go to the Beis HaMikdash, that's where you get karas. If it was an obligation, if it was a mitzvah, and you went to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no karas. That's supposed to come out, and that's wrong. Why? That's where it's Kumar's Kasha. You should. That's the definition of Asher. Asher means voluntary. Asher means if you want, you do it. If you don't want, you don't do it. And we said...
Because the
Beis
HaMikdash is a specific place.
It's
a specific place.
But according to Asher
in the Yar is very random.
But according to you...
You need to intend to walk into the Mikdash. You don't need to intend to be Kasher Bayar.
Yeah, but where did it say that Asher? It said Asher on the tummy. It said when you become tummy, which means when you became...
Not when you go in.
Then when you go, I also made that thing. He says when you became tummy, then you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. You get cars.
Can you chop wood from the mitzvah, the sukkah?
As we said, it's not the mitzvah. It's a preparation. What's this thing? Fine. Oh, so. That's fine. I'll keep now. Yes.
Well, in Hagiga, there are times when you had to go to this Beis HaMikdash. I mean, you're exempt if you're lame or blind or too far away. But in excluding those, you're still required to go during the requirement.
Well, not enough. You have to go sometimes, but not if you're Tommy. If you're Tommy, it's one of the cases that you're exempt. If you're Tommy, you shouldn't go. Now let it go. You should try to become pure before them. If a guy is tummy, whatever, it's a whole process. The third day gets free, the seventh day. Let's say a guy became tummy on the way to be other regular became tummy. That's it.
Then there's a procedure. You can still give your
You have makeup things. I'm saying when he's tummy, he's not allowed to go in. If you became impure, you can't go in. Unless if you became pure, you can't go in.
Then you would wait to 7 days, get sprinkled on third and what's
seven?
Yeah, third and seventh. That reminds me. There's a YouTube video about a red heifer. How old does a red heifer be before it's checked
it? I don't know. It has to be a year old. I don't know if it has to be a year old.
So we have 7 months to go.
Yeah.
The red heifer is 5 months old.
Fine, can we stop over here? Fine, Shkech, we'll try to do it tomorrow.
Either fur was brushed the wrong way or there's a blemish on the left side.
We don't know. I don't know.
What red heifer is 5 months old?